You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first post-WNBA draft podcast on Dishin' and Swishin' here at Hoopfeed. And I'm pleased to welcome onto the show the coach of the Connecticut Sun, who certainly had an interesting week so far this week. Ann Donovan. Coach, how are you?
Good. Thanks, David.
So what did you do yesterday?
Well, we were quite busy. What we really did was more before yesterday, obviously. You know, we'd gotten the request or demand, however you want to phrase it, from Tina that she was interested in a change, wanted to be in New York, and was prepared to not play unless we made the trade. So really it was the last couple weeks that we had a lot of decisions to make and went fluctuated between let's hold her and hope she'll play, hope for the best, and then New York stepped up with what we felt was a pretty good trade. So got that done before the draft started yesterday, and you know, feel very optimistic, in particular after meeting Alyssa Thomas and having her and Chelsea Gray and Chinne Igbumike all in the room last night. It was just a super feeling for us.
Well, let's talk for a second first. Before we get into the new, let's just talk about last year for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think went wrong? I mean, this was a team that the year before had done well. Obviously, right off the bat, you came in and you didn't have Asia Jones, who was a veteran leader on this team. But from there, things seem to have kind of spiraled in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, I think, you know, not like I can look back and say this is what happened. I think as it went, we were very aware, or I was very aware of the impact of not having Asia, you know, of her leadership and her tandem post play with Tina. You know, I knew that was significant, losing her. I thought Kelsey Griffin did a great job stepping up and, you know, just working her tail off to fill that void as best she could. But you could start to see that the leadership that Asia left us without was going to pay a huge toll for us. And then, you know, just I think a series of injuries, you know, Kara Lawson being injured and her leadership kind of went away by the fact she wasn't on the floor anymore. You know, one injury after another after that. And I think the combination of the injuries and really not being mentally strong enough to overcome it, and maybe even a lack of will to overcome it, led to a really difficult season that had a lot to do with injuries, but snowballed into a lot more than that.
Well, there's no question that, you know, basically what we're looking at is almost a common term now is a reboot, and that's looking like in a lot of ways what has gone on with the franchise. You know, first, you know, starting with Stephen Key coming on the coaching staff, and then, you know, the myriad of changes. The one I'd like to talk about first, if you don't mind, is the return of Katie Douglas,
mm-hmm.
who sort of caught a lot of people, inclusive of myself, by surprise. But if she is healthy, she certainly brings a lot of that leadership and a lot of those qualities that were missing on last year's team.
It's true. You know, and everybody here, all the executives and people in this state just remember Katie so fondly. So hearing a lot of positive recollections of her impact here helped me become pretty decisive that she was the one that was going to make a difference for us. The next hurdle was how healthy was she? What did Katie feel like she was going to be capable of doing? How long did she feel like she could continue to play at a high level? And so we kind of worked through the medical aspect of her injury and then her surgery and her rehab, and feel very confident, as Katie does, that she's ready to go 100% and really lead this team. Now, the unfortunate thing for Katie is she signed up thinking she was coming here to play with Tina. And when Tina gave us the ultimatum, it came just days after Katie had signed that contract with us. So, but to KT's credit, she hasn't wavered not once about her commitment to come to Connecticut and help us get a championship.
Well, that leads to other questions, of course, which, there has been a lot of speculation, first involving, you know, Lawson before that was done. Gruda, no doubt, you know, we've known for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tina, there was some speculation going back to last year about her approach and whether she really wanted to be a part of the Connecticut Sun.
did you, you guys made comments yesterday that you were kind of blindsided by Tina's decision that she wanted to do it. Was that more because it was so late in the term prior to the start of the season, or was it just because you really thought that she was going to honor, you know, her commitment to the Connecticut Sun?
You know, really, frankly, David, I mean, we knew last year the rumors were in the wind, and we went into the off season, you know, sitting down with Tina on multiple occasions with her discussions with her agent and giving them so much time and space to confirm or deny the rumors. And it, truthfully, it, every time it was asked, it was answered that she just wants to win. And as long as you keep building the pieces that help you win, she wants to be a part of that. So it really was a blindsided move when we got the phone call saying she wanted to play in New York and wanted to go back home and trade her or else. So it really was blindsided. I know that people think that we should have listened to rumors, but when you have your own marquee player and her agent telling you something different, you know, you've got to believe them. You've got to take their word. So I think that's what left us pretty surprised when the middle of March came around and that demand was made.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that, you know, rumors are one thing, but, you know, if you've sat down face-to-face with somebody and they've told you that they're looking for you to build the team still and build around them, and then you have to take people at their word. I mean, it's all based on trust. You know, that's the foundation of a team.
That's right. And I think that's what, I think, you know, truthfully, this is a business, and you know, we're all moving on. Tina's moving on. She'll do great things in New York, and we're going to move on, and we're excited. But at the end of the day, it was very disappointing to feel like we were not told the truth.
Well, one thing I will give a lot of credit to the Sun for was, as we mentioned, you know, the rumors had been out there. Everybody knew that Carol wanted to be moved. Ruta wanted to be moved. Tina wanted to be moved. Yet I was pretty impressed with the haul that you guys made back from all of these players, because, you know, to completely revamp a roster and add players, you know, granted there's unknowns, of course, with any young player, but Bentley proved things last year that she could play. You know, you add pedigrees like Ogwumike and Chelsea Gray and, of course, Alyssa Thomas. And, you know, I'm excited about Kelsey Bone coming off the winter that she had. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great nucleus for the future.
I agree, David. You know, we've actually made a trip to Europe to visit with Tina. We stopped in Turkey to visit with Alba Torrens, who is a player we have rights to, and Tan White, some of our other players that are overseas. And lo and behold, there's Kelsey Bowen playing. So, you know, just watching her, and as a post coach, you know, I just can't wait to get her. And I know Lambeer probably feels the same way as a post player, but, like, she has so much potential, and she has so much ability. And just a year into it, with a lot of experience with Liberty last summer and then tremendous experience internationally this off season, you know, I think that kid is ready to break out, and we're excited that we're not going to have to worry about how to guard her.
Well, it just seemed that one thing I'll criticize Lambeer about was that he didn't seem to make a commitment last year to anybody other than Cappy on that roster. And they were in and out of the lineup. And I think you put Kelsey Bone in and give her the confidence of being a starter, and she's gonna reward you.
I agree. I think she will flourish. I really do. I think it is, you know, somewhat about confidence. You get thrown into the big leagues, and big leagues in Europe as well. You know, her confidence, it has to come. We look forward to developing that. We're really eager to get our hands on her.
Well, one thing that was certainly a weakness last year was some of the rebounding. Mm-hmm. And you have added some of the more tenacious players that I've seen in recent years in Janae, Alyssa, and Kelsey. And of course, Kelsey Griffin coming back, too.
That
is certainly something not to be overlooked, that it got overshadowed in all of the talk about the Charles trade and the draft pick, that Kelsey signed on for 2 more years, too, which is a great building block for the Sun as well.
Absolutely.
But rebounding should not be a problem for this year's team.
You know, you're right, David. When I took the job, and one of the first meetings with the players and the team was, you know, this is something that has to be fixed. It was, you know, it's historically been a problem with the Sun. And we talked about it very frankly in the preseason last year and really wanted to address it. And once again, we fell very short in that area. So, you know, you add Chinay and Alyssa, and right away your numbers have to go up. So I'm excited about that energy. And, you know, to rebound like they do, it's a blue-collar mentality, and that's going to rub off on everybody, along with KT and Allie and Kelsey. I just like that put your nose down and get to work mentality.
Well, it's going to certainly be a spirited training camp. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of players that people have been wondering about that there hasn't been much word about, and you mentioned two of them that you talked to when you were in Europe. One was Alba Torrens and one is Tan White.
Mm-hmm.
Should we expect either or both to be in training camp with the Sun this year?
You know, unfortunately, we left Europe feeling like Alba was going to come, and then it's, you know, with mixed feelings. I'm frustrated that she's not coming. She's told us she's not going to come, but at the same time, I understand it. You know, the Spanish national team has finally risen to the top of Europe, and she's a big part of it, and she doesn't want the World Championships to you know, slide at all without her commitment. So we're not going to see her this summer. And Tan, you know, I don't expect that Tan's going to be back. I think once we made that trade and got the fourth pick, you know, it just, our numbers, if you look at our roster, we're very, very limited.
I'm looking at the roster on the website as we speak, and there's a lot of lot of bodies there.
You're exactly right. Really tough decisions ahead of us.
And, of course, the other person that in Connecticut everybody is wondering about is, where does Kelly Ferris fit into this equation?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Kelly. You know, like most of our players playing in Europe, she'll be late coming back to camp. But, you know, I've been real frank with Kelly. You know, she's got to come in and she's got to fight for that spot. You know, between Kalina Green and Danielle McRae finally getting a shot at healthy to play, to show our staff what she can do. And Kelly, and, you know, Hampton is a kid that I liked a lot in college. I'll be curious to see how she comes in to compete. It's going to be neck and neck who's going to end up with two of those spots.
As did I with Keisha Hampton coming out of DePaul. I always thought that, you know, she was going to be she was a WNBA ready player coming in, but injuries have set her back so far in her career.
It's true.
That it'll be fun to see what she can bring to the table.
You know, I was at Seton Hall, so coaching against her in the Big East, and I felt the same way. I mean, if anybody came out at 6'1 with her length pro-ready, I thought it was her. So we will see. It'll be interesting to see how she adjusts.
Do you anticipate, I know it's early to say, and it's always something that's flexible, do you anticipate with this type of talent in camp that you're going to go with 12?
I do. You know, we were so burned last year with limited numbers that I can't ever imagine not taking as many players as I could take. And fortunately for us, you know, by moving Kara and Tina, you know, cap will not be our issue. The salary cap will not be a concern for us.
Well, that certainly is always a factor, you know, in this league. And that's great to hear that won't be a problem in keeping 12. And I'm sure that people will appreciate that. You know, the one thing I do have to mention, you know, as we wrap this up, is we really didn't even talk about number one and talk about Janae.
Yeah.
And she's one of my favorite players coming out of college. Just I've had her on the podcast several times. Love her attitude and work ethic and her personality. And, you know, one of the things that Kara was a face for the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
At least Tina never liked being out front and center. She's more of a private person. You know, I was a little concerned with Kara being gone. You know, Renee is one thing. She's good. But Chinay is like a whole different type of A personality that is just great for a team to have.
Yeah, it's so true. And watching some of her TV work in our local in Hartford today and going through the TV stations, she just, you know, these people, I was worried, who's going to know how to say her name? Who's going to know Chinay and not some other version of Chinay? But everyone is so endeared with her personality and taken with her. And her leadership skills for such a young woman is, you know, she's special. And that's what Coach Vanderveer said. That's what everybody who knows Chinay has said. And she's proved that in a very short period of time.
And also, just to mention, you know, going into next year's draft, you do have New York's number one, you know, which will give you at least a 2-in-12 chance at getting a top spot, because the rest of the draft isn't looking particularly strong other than the very top. So Chelsea Gray is a top five player if she were healthy. That really is a number one draft choice for next year.
I agree with you on that, too. You know, we were concerned that she would not still be there at 11. And, you know, talking with Duke personnel and people, they talk about her mindset. And if there's ever a kid that wants to be healthy, is committed to being healthy, it's Chelsea Gray. So for us, it was an absolute gift to have her there at 11 and really continue to help shape our future here.
So how excited are you for camp to open?
I can't even tell you. You know, last year I was super excited, but it got dampened pretty quickly. And this year it's like just starting over and feeling all the positivity and the energy. We had Chelsea and Alyssa and Janae all in our room, our war room last night, and you couldn't help but feel the energy. And, you know, KT with us as well last night. And so you have all that youthful energy, which can make a coach scared in this league because we know that veterans help win championships. But, you know, having somebody like KT really lead the way along with Allison and Kelsey and Renee, we have really some exciting pieces. I'm really excited to get started.
You know, you look at the Eastern Conference, and you can certainly raise the argument that several teams didn't improve themselves.
Mm.
So the things could be really wide open again this year in the East, with an opportunity to make a move right away if everybody can produce like you're hoping.
Yeah, I do. I think it is. The doors are open, you know, and the initial, you know, extreme disappointment when Tina put her wish out there was kind of met with, okay, well, we got some good building pieces here. Kelsey Bone gives us a nice big body inside, and if we add Janae, you know, it's kind of, you know, a wait and see for us, but with great anticipation of what the possibilities are.
Well, I know at the table that I was sitting at last night, back here in Connecticut, back here in our home, there was a lot of questions about why Alyssa Thomas and not Stephanie Dolson.
Mm.
Because of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you guys were clearly ready to face the wrath of the UConn fans.
Yeah.
For the betterment of the team.
Yeah, I know, that's it. You know, I would love to have Stephanie Dolson and Bria Hartley and all of them. You know, there's no question that the UConn players come out very ready for the pros. You know, Gino does a tremendous job just, you know, with his demanding style and the way he runs his system, that those kids are ready. And then you add Stephanie's personality on top of it. You know, it was tough to not have her with us. But, you know, with drafting Chinee as a post player and with our first pick, you know, we had to definitely go with different needs later on.
Well, I've already read that it was because you coached at Seton Hall, so you don't like UConn.
Oh my gosh, that's a
I've already read that. Of course, you do have Renee Montgomery, Kalaina Green, and
yeah.
Kelly Ferris on your roster right now. But you know, I do know it's because you don't like UConn.
Yeah, no. The reality there is I completely respect UConn, and I could never forget the thumpings I got from UConn.
Well, Coach, you know, we're gonna see Tina back in May 4th, right in that
yeah.
first preseason game.
Yeah.
So I guess you got a lot to get ready for really fast. But if anybody knows her game, I would say it's probably the Connecticut Sun.
That's true. You know, we do, and it is. It's almost. I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate to go ahead and get the matchup out of the way, but you know, it'll be a test. I mean, Tina's an MVP for a reason. She's very, very talented, and we are certainly going to miss her presence in our post, but like all competitors, we will try to figure out a way and a game plan.
Well, Coach, congratulations on what I consider a very successful offseason for the team. You know, I personally am excited for the team. I'm excited for the personalities and the effervescence
mm-hmm.
that they bring. And, you know, as you mentioned, it kind of dragged down last year as the season went on.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to some nice upbeat basketball and upbeat talent.
You and me both, David. I think it's going to be a fun summer.
Take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Hey, it's Naomi McKay, your favorite nerd on the West Coast, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this next portion of the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoop Feed. And I'm pleased to welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin' the coach of the Tulsa Shock, Fred Williams. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's just regrouping from a long weekend with the draft, so I'm recuperating a little bit.
And it was a good draft for the Shock, no question. It was
you know, they've gone through the shock itself. You have not been part of the disappointment of not getting those top picks that the team has had to go through. So, you know, you come on and you get number two. That must have been a nice feeling.
Well, you know, we was in a good position there for some players that to be selected. And, you know, we're very happy to, you know, have Odyssey Sims there early for us. And, you know, either way with some of those players in the first round, we would have got a great player anyway.
So when you were doing your preparation, did it consist mostly of, okay, if Connecticut takes Chennai, here's who we take in the second and third round. If Connecticut takes Odyssey, here's who we take in the second and third round.
Yeah, you have to have like two different scenarios there, sometime maybe three. But, you know, we had two scenarios there, and we had some players on target for those second and third rounds that possibly would be there. And, you know, kind of fell into place the way we planned it.
Well, it was definitely nice to be able to know that you were going to get either one of those top two, Chennai or Odyssey. Both
yeah.
are tremendous talents. And, you know, Odyssey brings also the intrinsic value of being a Big 12 player, which I'm sure is nice in Oklahoma.
It is. You know, we're probably getting a lot of those Baylor Bears fans down to us, and they come out and support, so that's always good.
Now, what would you say to the people that are looking at your roster, and they see right now, they see Odyssey, Skylar Diggins, of course, Raquena Williams, you know, did so well last year, as did Angel Goodrich. What would you say to the people that are looking and saying, boy, that's really a guard-heavy roster right now?
Well, I think you look at it as you know, with a 12-player roster now, a lot of teams are going to have a guard-heavy type of a situation. You know, for us, we have some young guards who are very talented, and I think when people look at it, they say that's a strong cast of players to have, you know, either starting for you or either coming off the bench.
Now, the other question, of course, can you give us any insight as we sit here on April 16th as to Elizabeth Cambage and whether or not you anticipate seeing her in camp?
Well, you know, it's still the doors are still open there. We're still having dialogue with her national team and coaching, and hopefully, you know, we'll hear something here real soon on her return back with us. But, you know, at this point in time, you know, we have to formulate our training camp. And have a speculation that she'd be coming back. And I think Tulsa's been through this before in the past. This is my first time experiencing this situation. So I'm just trying to, you know, give her time and to make a decision.
Well, you certainly have been in a position where, though, coming from Atlanta, where you've had to make adjustments based on national team commitments and whether players will or will not be there, of course, having Erica DeSouza and also Sancho Little missing time in the past.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you speak of those two players. Also had Elena Lachenka, you know, who did not spend, you know, had to suspend her 1 year because she went with the Belarus team there. But, you know, you have to, you know, abide by the rules of what we have mandated with the WNBA and also with FIBA and some of the national teams. And those players, they really honor their country a lot, so. You just got to fill in some players in their place when they're gone, and when you get them back, you bring them back strong.
Now, you part of the off season that has gone on is Courtney Paris was re-signed, and then you did draft, you know, Teresa Plaisance, who on last week's podcast, Jeff House was really high on, mentioning that he thought she would be a surprise, having seen her from when he was coaching at Kentucky last year. So do you feel and of course, Tiffany Jackson-Jones is back a year closer to being back to her the way she was. Do you feel confident with the posts that you're bringing into camp should Cambage not decide to come?
Well, yeah, I feel very confident of those post players. We also, you know, signed Vicky Baugh from Tennessee from, you know, a few years ago, and she's back at with us as a free agent at 6'5", so there's a good frontline players at that post position, and it's going to be a very challenging training camp to see who you know wants the job.
You know, and then of course on the forward position, Glory Johnson, of course, is an all-star at forward, and you know you drafted Jordan Hooper with the second round, who I think is going to be a nice piece. That her ability to hit that spot up three when you've got penetrating point guards. Like the four guard, all four of your guards are real penetrators. You know, that's going to leave some nice pop shots for Jordan Hooper.
Well, no, she's a triple threat player who can, you know, shoot the three. She can drive to the basket and, like you say, spot up for that jump shot on pick and roll plays. And in the pro game and the way that I like to run our sets and offense and stuff, she fits right in with what I'm thinking about. So, you know, time will tell in training camp.
Nicole Powell expected back?
Yeah, we expect Nicole Powell back. You know, we're getting ready for training camp here coming up, and we expect her to be, you know, signing in for training camp.
I wasn't sure with her coaching this past year whether she was coming back this year or not.
That was
more of a comment on that than on the roster.
Yeah, she's more of a, you know, she's in that stage of her career, you know, as a veteran of, you know, of thinking of coaching and everything. I know basketball is still her love, and, you know, just giving her time to think about what she wants to do and you know, love to have her, you know, in with us. We got a plan for being with us next year, and she's a great shooter, so I always love shooters.
Well, that's for sure. We've certainly seen that with the offenses that you've had. You like to have those outside those people that can hit you on the fast break and also hit the spot up threes. So when you look at things and your roster is starting to come into place, you know, I'm sure it was difficult knowing having Wiggins leave. I'm sure you had done a lot of planning around having her involved, but you got to be really pretty excited about seeing this this Diggins Sims combo as soon as camp opens.
Well, you know, you're going to get a good look at them as, you know, they're both combo guards. You know, they really, a lot of people call them just point guards, but they're a combo guard where they can play the one or the two. In this league, a lot of teams take away your point guard from bringing it up and have your two guard bring it up. So there'd be moments where I can, you know, probably have a small lineup, which I've always, you know, used in the past of having a small lineup. I can have Williams out there along with those three. I can have, Hodges out there along with those, you know, those two players. But having that combination gives you a lot of freedom and a lot of situations to have going into different games.
You know, we're just not going to worry about the defensive end if you put Williams out there with those two, because you're just going to outscore everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, you still got to go out and play the game. I know that they're very talented players defensively and offensively, and that's what you want to have around your perimeter game, because that's where it starts in the backcourt, picking up and putting a lot of pressure on teams. And you know, having Glory back there, and also, you know, with Jen Lacy, who's very active, they're going to, you know, do a lot of cleanup work there on the back end.
No question about that. Now, you know, Skyler, I thought, took a lot of unfair criticism last year because, in my mind, the hardest position to transition is playing the point from college to the pros. And as you said, she really is more of a combo guard than a pure assist-driven point guard. So when you look at this year, do you anticipate that she might actually be more of a ball handler than Sims this year? Because Sims will be facing the same transition this year.
Well, I think it's the equal value of how they are as players. You know, both complement each other. And I think with Skyler, it's very difficult last year to come in, you know, when you come in with a group of new players that you really never played with as a point guard. It's kind of difficult. You're coming in as a rookie at certain places where you already got the pieces there, you know, versus, you know, with Griner and also Deladon. They had a few pieces there already as veterans. So it was a little tough for her, but I think she's, you know, went through that season and really regrouped herself on the off season, and she's ready to go.
So now, is there anything that we should be looking for as people start looking at the Tulsa shot getting ready for this year? Now, the West is obviously stacked. This is going to be a team that's still in the developmental stages, but is clearly bringing in more and more talent and is going to take more than their share of victories. What should we be looking for out of this team? What has you really excited?
Well, I think, you know, just the overall versatility of using multiple lineups and having the opportunity to challenge each and every night, you know, for a victory, and, you know, just having that no fear attitude of going out there to play hard and get after people. And I think you do those things, you know, a lot of good outcomes will happen.
Well, Coach, I want to wish you luck in your first season with Tulsa. We've certainly seen over the years what you can do with a franchise. So I think that, you know, there's no question. Congratulations on bringing Ed onto the staff, too. I mean, he's a tremendous coach. And things are looking a little bit brighter today, I think, for the Tulsa Shock.
Well, it's one step at a time, and, you know, taking over this position, that's the first thing I want to do is put a lot of things in place on the off season. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a little time to gel and everybody get used to each other. So it's good to have balance in this league, and that's what this league has been built on for, you know, the past 17 years.
Well, Coach, one thing that nobody can't say about Fred Williams is you are a winner, and you are somebody that wouldn't have taken on a job that you didn't think you can do things with and turn into a championship-caliber team. No question about that.
Well, that compliment coming from you, that's first class for me, and I appreciate that.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck, and we'll look forward to when you guys make your one trip to Connecticut, seeing you then.
Okay, thank you so much.